Okay, so this morning, I want you to imagine with me that you're walking out to your mailbox, okay? If you don't have a mailbox, like walking to whatever. Just imagine walking to a mailbox at your place of residence. So just pretend that there's a mailbox out there, even if you don't have one, which I don't know why you wouldn't have one. Anyway, whatever. That's silly. Okay. Now, and as you take a couple of steps out of your front door and you're headed to your mailbox, all of the sudden, the Schwann's truck, but it's not called Schwann's anymore now, it's called something else. Yellow, okay, the yellow truck. But see, if I said yellow, then you guys, well, I don't know, what's yellow? Anyway, the Schwann's truck just sort of crashes in front of your house, right? And so it takes a moment to make sure that everybody's okay. The Schwann man climbs out, and he's fine, and we call the police, and we call the whatever, and the Schwann's guy's okay. But you've just got ice cream and pizza and chicken wings and everything all over your front yard, okay? And you're like, Ben, could you start my timer? The Schwann's guy, he's okay. He's standing in your front yard waiting for whatever to happen. And then he's like, you know what? You need to get this stuff and get it in your freezer. I can't use it anymore. It's all still in its boxes or whatever. You just need to get it and get it to your freezer. But the problem is you don't have a freezer that big. You got enough freezer space for a couple of boxes of ice cream or a couple of things of whatever. And so what do you do now? You've got all of this awesome food. What do? You share it, right? You start calling your friends, your cousins, your neighbors, your whatever, and you're like, hey, guys, we're having a Schwann's party at my house. Come on, let's do it. Let's eat some ice cream, pizza, some chicken cordon bleus, some whatever else, some hamburger patties. I don't know what all they sell. I've never bought anything from their truck. I just have always heard that it's good, that the ice cream is really, really good. That's just what I've heard. Anyway, the point is, come on to my house and take some of this stuff home with you, and take some of the and let's cook some tonight, and let's have some all of this stuff and share it. And I think that's where we're at in our series so far of Marvel at Our Salvation, is just to the point to where we've talked about it enough. Let's talk about giving it away. Right? You've got this fantastic gift that's just been laid out in front of you, and it is huge and massive. I mean, the Schwann's truck doesn't even begin to compare to the gift that is our salvation, and it's just laid out in front of you everywhere, like so many things available to us, like we've talked about. You know, there's just limitless joy available to you, limitless peace. We stay tied up in knots so bad all the time. We stay tied up in knots all the time with our anxiousness about you know, whatever, about all of our worries about just this life. And the Lord takes care of all of that, right? It's freely available to you. Peace and joy is freely available to you. Everything that you need, your needs, is a brand new car in that? Maybe, maybe not, but what you need is available in your salvation. Just your physical needs. It's all of these things are available to you. Wisdom, piles and piles and piles of wisdom are available to you. And this is coming from the guy who hung the earth. He just stuck it out there and said, okay, gravity be a thing. Gravity wasn't a thing before God. So all of this stuff, wisdom, all of this stuff is available to us, and we need to sort of give it away. And sort of another thing that we were talking about, God comes first. And actually, we were on our way to get some ice cream this week, and I heard this clip. I'm going to play the clip. I heard this clip on the radio. This guy was preaching, and I heard it. And, you know, I've been talking about how God came first, right? God came first in building the earth. He came first in putting you together. You did not knit yourself together in the womb. God did. God did all of that. He came first. He created the earth. This guy who gives us wisdom, he is the one that created all of this. It is available to all of us. And so I heard this clip about how God comes first. And so I'm gonna play it for you. I'm gonna play it for you right now. Listen to this.
Yeah, and I say it all the time. Young people know when we have this question about God, here's what I didn't start. When start got started, God started start. He's the beginner who began the beginning before the beginning began to be. Nice. Let me say that again. I said, God didn't start. When start got started, God started start. He was the beginner who began the beginning before the beginning began to be.
So, like, I wrote that down in case you want to, like, because it goes through it pretty quick. But God started start. There was no start before God. There was no beginning before God. God started the beginning. He started all of it. And so if you want, I got a copy of that. I can give it to you or whatever. I just thought that was really, I thought it was on par with all this other stuff. And what was funny is I had a car full of teenagers, and they're all blah, 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 you know how they are. Or children, I had kids in my car or whatever, and they're all just talking. And to hear this guy saying them, I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm like cranking it up, trying to hear it. Anyway, it was good. God comes first. And so anyway, I know that you're thinking, like this sermon about it, give it away, you're going to hammer on missions again. This is not a mission sermon. That's not what this is about. We are, fine. I'll talk about missions a little bit. I know you're wanting me to. So, currently, we only have 3 people signed up, me, Levi, and Kelly. Now, several of you have said to me, I'm really thinking about going. Okay, so it's really time to sign up because it's really time to start doing fundraising. And so we need to, like, if it's fundraising for 3 of us, then that's one thing. If there's fundraising for 12 of us, then that's another thing. So if you're going to sign up, please do so. Plus my anxiety, every time I look at that list and there's no new names on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're not signing up. Why aren't they signing up? So you don't have to do that for me and my anxiety. Don't worry about that. That's between me and the Lord. But if you're going to sign up, it's time. You know, like, I'm praying about it. Okay, time to decide. I'm going. All right, anyway. So that's all I'm going to say about missions. No, there's no guarantee. But that's all I'm going to say about it right now. All right. So, so we're talking about giving our salvation away, right? Because it's this fantastic gift. Like the Schwanz man has just opened up his thing in front of you. It's this fantastic gift that is just available to you. So, well, I don't know how to give it away. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to tell. Here's the secret. This is the tool that you need. It's your testimony. That's it. That's the secret. Oh, I'm not a great speaker. I'm not great at telling other people about Jesus. Your story, your testimony there's the secret. You want to tell others about Jesus? Tell them about what he has done in your life. Well, but I'm not perfect. You don't have to be perfect, and I'm going to prove that this morning. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, if you waited until you were perfect to tell us about Jesus, nobody would ever know. Nobody. The pastor who got me saved was far, far, far from perfect. And so if he had to wait until he was perfect, then it never would have happened. So but I want to read this to you. So Shannon got me a new Bible. Y'all can probably read it from there. So no more of those dumb glasses that Abby made fun of me about. All right. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. The dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, was the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in heavens, rejoice. So, if you were paying attention to that, then you recognize there was this great big battle in heaven. Or maybe there is a battle in heaven. Maybe there was a battle in heaven. Revelation is twisty. It's hard to really know where in time some of this stuff is happening. And God is outside of time, and we're certainly not. That's not the point of this. Anyway, when this battle happens, okay, the people who get to stay in heaven were those They defeated him. They defeated the devil by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. Now, remember, over the last couple of weeks, I've talked several times about how our salvation is a two-parter. The first part is believing in Jesus Christ, right? Believe that he was a real person who really died on the earth and then rose again. That's the first part, believing in Jesus. The second part is made right with the Lord by using your voice, by saying, Jesus, you are king over the earth. Now, I want you to see when you think about that, I want you to see this. They were saved. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, that's the first part of your salvation. That's the first part of your salvation. The first part of your salvation is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, okay, and that he rose again. That's the first part. The second part is, and by the word of their testimony. Now, I know that this scripture, this Bible, leaves out the word word, and I don't know why, because it's in every single other version of this scripture is, and by the word of their testimony, because words are powerful. Inside of words, inside of your words are the life and death. It's what the Bible tells us. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Okay. So it is actually by the words of your mouth that you get to stay in heaven and not get defeated by the devil. It is your testimony that is the word. Are you tracking with me here? So you get to defeat the devil. You get your salvation by the blood of the Lamb and by your testimony. That's how much power your testimony has. It defeats the devil. Are you seeing that? What fantastic news is that? So I get to defeat the devil with a simple sentence? Absolutely. If that sentence is, I trusted in God's gift for my salvation. I made Jesus king of my life. That sentence is enough to do the deal. What great news is that? And it's not just great news here on earth, it's also great news later. And so if you're like, well, but my testimony is not, it's not a good one, right? I was a good kid. I didn't get caught up in drugs or whatever. My wife is a nerd. She's a goody two-shoes. She is. I didn't ask your permission to share this, but I'm going to. She doesn't have this like, my pastor in Hopkinsville, he's always sort of giving his testimony, and his testimony includes laying in a ditch, hiding from the cops because he's afraid of a DUI or whatever, and God comes and scoops him up, right? God, he's like, okay, Lord, I've had enough, and this is where, I don't know if that's his actual salvation moment, but that's where he stopped running from the Lord, is in a moment like that. And so maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have a moment like that. My testimony's no good. But that's not the point. Your testimony is not your whole story. Your testimony is, I was lost, and now I'm found. And that's it. So your testimony doesn't have to be this like fantastic testimony I was in jail and on drugs and all this, and God come through and saved me. No, God come through and saved you anyway. Even if you're from a good home and your whole life has been peachy keen and you had great parents who took you to church, no matter what, you were still going to hell. But now you're not, because of the word of your testimony. That's such great news. That's such great news. And so please don't discount your testimony. Now we're going to read a story in the Bible about somebody sharing their testimony. We're going to find it in John chapter 4. All right. Jesus had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually he came to a Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came out to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water and I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water. Okay, so Jesus meets this woman at the well. And I mean, like, this is not a new story for any of you. Well, maybe some of you, but it's not a new story. This is a regular old Bible story that we hear from time to time. And so here Jesus is. He's sitting down at this well, and this lady comes up, and she wants a drink of water, or Jesus wants a drink of water. And so this whole conversation starts to happen. And he's like, I have the living water. I'm the guy. I got it, right? And so she clearly misses what's happening here. Based on her response, you know, Jesus says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Who drinks this water, this well water, will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling water, a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So then the lady goes right back to physical water. You know, Jesus changed the conversation to spiritualness, and then she went to physicalness. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. She totally missed it. Fortunately, Jesus is not, he doesn't just like roll his eyes and walk away like I might have. He changes the direction. What I think is so crazy about this is that she's going to get her request despite asking for the wrong thing. Watch this. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water and I'll never be thirsty again and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband. What does that have to do with water? That's Jesus starting to give her the living water. Did you watch this? Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. So now here Jesus is giving her the living water, and she doesn't even realize what's happening. She asked for living water, not really knowing what she was asking for, and then Jesus heads right into it. Okay, you want it? Here we go. And so he starts giving her the living water by questioning, you know, who she is, by questioning, like, who her trust is, who her trust is in. Okay, let's see. Let's skip on down to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now, I heard a preacher say this one time a long time ago, and I did some research on it. So I don't like to just spout something back out just because I heard some other preacher say it, because he may not know what he's talking about. So I did some research on this, probably not enough. So let me say I'm 80% sure of what I'm about to say. So this woman is the first woman to hear Jesus say, I am the Messiah. It's the first recorded time that Jesus says those words in the Bible, that he pronounces who he is. Now, this woman, I want you to see this. This woman is far, far, far from perfect. So, you know, we think all the time, well, my life is not good enough. My behavior is good. It's not good enough. But remember, we've talked about that for the last couple of weeks. Your behavior is not what's important here. Excuse me. It is your testimony. It is your salvation is what's important here, not your behavior, not your morality. So this woman, who is not moral in any way, is the first one to hear that Jesus is the Messiah. This woman, who's not moral in any way, she's not living for God, she's not even trying to live for God, she's the first one to hear it. Is that resonating? Are you catching this? You don't have to be perfect to meet Jesus. Okay, so Jesus said, I am the Messiah. Just then the disciples came back, we're in verse 27. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Why are you talking to her? The woman left the water jar beside the well and ran back to the village. Okay, so I want you to see this. So Jesus says, I am the Messiah. The disciples show up, and the woman takes off running. That was the end of their conversation at this point. Jesus had done enough. He had given her enough living water. Anyway, so she just takes off running. She left her jar and everything, just took off running. Woman left her jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Now, here's what I want you to catch in this. This woman did not go home and straighten out her affairs. She didn't go home and move out and get her own apartment. She did not run away and start apologizing to her five ex-husbands. This woman ran straight into the village and said, you gotta see this. She was still an immoral woman when she was announcing her testimony to the people. She was still immoral when she was announcing her testimony. Okay, meanwhile, let's skip that part. The disciples asked Jesus to eat some stuff. Let's go down to 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear the message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. So in verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said. Because of the woman's testimony. It doesn't say that she went home and cleaned herself up. It doesn't say that she went home and fixed all of her problems. It doesn't say that. This immoral woman went and announced her testimony. I have met the Messiah. And that's all it took. Now a whole village gets to know Jesus because this woman was willing to open her mouth and give her testimony. You can do that too. You can do that too. Because guess what? You're the immoral woman. You are. You're the immoral woman. You're the one who's messed up. We are the ones who are messed up. You don't have to be like Pastor so-and-so to tell somebody about Jesus because your testimony counts. Even though you're yucky. And that's what's beautiful about it, right? That's what's beautiful about it. So you go and announcing your testimony to somebody, and they're like, yeah, but I know you. You're still a mess. And then you get to respond with, exactly! That's the whole point. Jesus has saved me while I was still a mess. Come and be a mess with me. Let's go do it together. Let me go back to my notes. You can't bring your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, you can't bring them back to a physical Jesus anymore, right? Physical Jesus isn't on the earth. He's invisible. That's the whole trick about the part of where we live in. Like, salvation is awesome. God is awesome. But it's all invisible, right? It's all faith-based, right? So you can't bring them back to a physical Jesus to introduce them to. But you can bring them to your house for supper. You can go out to eat with them. You can go for coffee or whatever, you know, 20-year-olds do. I don't know. You can introduce them to Jesus just in these single moments. You can also bring them to church, right? You can bring them to church. There's no physical Jesus here, and I'm a poor representation of him. But I can talk to about him. I can certainly do that. You can bring them to church, all based on your testimony. Because your testimony has power. It has enough power to keep you in heaven when everybody else gets thrown out. Your testimony has enough power to do that. And your testimony has enough power to empty out a village and to to see them brought before Jesus. How wonderful is that? How easy is that? So, like, you're like, well, I would like to tell somebody about Jesus, but I just don't know what I would say. I just don't know what I don't know how to start. I don't know whatever. Tell your story. Your story is the one that matters. You can't, like, you don't know all, you know, whatever 10,000 chapters of the Bible. You don't. If you do, that's impressive. That would be really cool. But you don't. You don't know it all. But you know your story. I don't know the Roman road. That's okay. You know your story. Well, you know, I still watch rated R movies. But you have your story. Right? I still dabble in my addiction. But you still have your story. Your story is the one with power. You got saved. Jesus did something in your heart. Now, it's possible you don't have a story. You don't know Jesus. That's possible. If that's the case, then you need to get to know him. And then you can share him, right? You can't tell somebody your story if you don't have a story. And you could tell people a story of when you went from being bad to when you went to being good, but that doesn't have a power in it. That doesn't have power. I started going to church and cleaned my life up. Great. But that's not taking you to heaven. What's taking you to heaven is Jesus did it. As Alistair Begg says, your testimony should always be in the third person. Jesus did it. He did it. Because we didn't save ourselves. That's wonderful. That's wonderful news. So I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Let's bow our heads and we're going to pray some. Bam, let's go ahead and let's go ahead and move forward, Bam. So, if you're in this room and you've heard all this stuff that I've said, and you're like, I don't have a testimony like that. I don't have a testimony where I can say, I was lost and now I'm found. I don't have a testimony where I can say that I was lost in the muck and mire. Jesus came and scooped me up and loved on me. I don't have that testimony. Then today, this morning, can be your morning. And what's cool about this is that the Holy Spirit is already doing the work, right? He was doing the work before he ever left the house this morning. Weeks ago, he's been doing the work. And you can feel it in your heart. You're nervous. You know that God is wanting something from you, okay? You, like, God is dealing with you. If that's you today, and you're ready to stop running, then here in a minute, I'm going to invite you to come up front and give your life to him. There's no magic that happens up here. It is it's you letting go. That's really what it is. So I encourage you, here in a minute, stop fighting. Stop fighting. Just let go and let Jesus do what Jesus is going to do. If you're in this room and you do have that testimony of God came and saved me, he pulled me out of the muck and mire, I was lost and now I'm found. Do have that testimony, but you're just sitting on it. You're not using it for what it's worth. You're not taking advantage of the benefits. You're not sharing it. You're just sitting on it. You're just laying on it. Just using it like fire insurance. Then this morning, we're going to invite you up, and you can come and just lay that down before the Lord and just say, God, I'm ready for more. Lord, I'm not taking advantage of the benefits. I'm not taking advantage of your awesome power. I'm caught up in my own anxiety. I'm caught up in my own worries. I'm caught up in my own selfishness. And Lord, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that. And the Lord in his grace and his rest and his mercy is up here for that. So I'm going to pray for you. that you'll have strength. And then we're going to sing a song, and I'm going to give you a minute to respond. And if you want to come up and pray with me, great. If you want to come up and lay down at the altar, that's great. If you want to do it in your chair, that's okay too. Just do it. Just give it to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you alone are the answer. You alone are the right answer. And so, Father, over the next few minutes, God, I pray that you would give us courage, boldness to step out and say, enough is enough. I'm ready to do the thing. I'm ready to give it to the Lord. I pray you would encourage us, Lord, to move towards you, to not be afraid of you, but God, to just rest in your love. We give you these next few moments in Jesus' holy name.